Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Warning. The following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the magnificent Monday edition of the Yard. And did you ever think we'd call it a magnificent Monday the day after baseball season ending? We're going to talk a lot about that. We're not going to break down any games. We're going to talk about a few things here and there. We're going to talk about the new hire. We're going to talk about what to expect. Talk about what it all means. A few things I want to say about the weekend. But we're not going to go by that. We're not going to break down games. That's behind us now. I'm very appreciative of the young men, their effort. A few things that I'll say. Florida State, okay, and this is going to come across mean, and I don't mean for it to, but it's honest. And there are a lot of people that mistake honesty with, being rude. There are some people that are rudely honest, but this is not me being rude. It's me being honest. Florida State, folks, listen, you got a fine ball club. You do. You got a great coach. You do. You do. Your baseball facility is not up to par. I know what you tell yourselves, but you haven't really traveled much, and I'm here to tell you it's not great. It looks good on TV, but it's not great. Your baseball facility is beneath the expectations of the tradition of your program, period. Now, I know Mike Alford's going to fix it. I had somebody tell me that he's already working on some things and got a fundraising campaign going. But let me tell you this, Florida State folks, and I'm saying this as your friend, you're not where you think you are. In fact, if you were in the Southeastern Conference, you wouldn't be in the top 10. You might even be maybe number 14 in the league. Honest to goodness. And this is not sour grapes. The better team won, period. There's some things I could say, and we're going to. But the better team won. Florida State's better than us. They got a couple frontline starters. They got a chance to make it to Omaha. I don't know if they can win the national championship, but they certainly got a chance to be there. But that facility is not at all what it should be. Period. We go up to Press Row. Guys, I'm going to say this, and you think I should have taken pictures. But I thought, if I tweet these, it's going to make me look bad. It'll make me look like I'm, making fun of people. You got poorly cropped, out-of-focus pictures in Walmart frames in your hallway of some Seminole greats. It's not good, man. It's not good. It's like somebody put them up when Mike Martin first told you guys to, and you just kind of left it alone. That's how it looks. It is. They got some other cool stuff. They do. The clubhouse kind of lets out to the concourse right there. I don't know how I feel about that. People having access to all that stuff. But interestingly enough, it's not what you would expect of a program with that level of tradition. Period. And that's just, you know, kind of me saying it for what it is. The Dick Howser bust, super cool. Nice. It is. But there's only like a couple of ways into that stadium. There's nothing in the outfield. Now, it's a fun atmosphere. It is. I mean, and this will sound bad too, but like it's a little U-triple-S-A, right? They all have the little cheers and that kind of stuff. Yeah, and the thing that I asked some people yesterday is, the baseball not enough that you got to do all this other stuff to entertain yourself? But nevertheless, very good Florida State team, potentially great Florida State team. But, yeah, that facility has got to get upgraded. Has to. I mean, you see it from the outside, you think, hey, it's a nice-looking park. See it on TV. And so you get there and you kind of walk around a little bit. I even talked to some of our other fans out there, and they're like, yes, it's just okay. And it's kind of a disappointing thing. But, yeah, it's not nearly as big as you would think. It's not as nice as you would think. But, yeah, I'm a college baseball guy, period. And, you know, I had a chance to go to some very historic venues and take those in, but I don't know if they've done much to upgrade that stadium, man, in decades. That's how it looks. You know, they're doing a bunch of work over there at Doak Walker. They got this whole new facility thing they're working on over there and putting some stuff together and around the practice field. So, you know, part of the deal. But, yeah, baseball facility, not up to par. People there were super nice. I was treated well. One person, not so much. Everybody else is great. I had this lady grab my arm as I'm entering to go to postgame. And I'm not a big fan of that. I'm from South Mississippi. You don't put your hands on the people in South Mississippi. It should be that way everywhere. Maybe that memorandum had made its way there. But you don't put your hands on the people. You don't. But, yeah, it was good. And I got to see several of you out there. It's always nice. We have a chance to kind of have a chance to visit and just talk. Had a chance to visit some of Polky. And, yeah, I'm glad to be home. Got home at 4:30 this morning. Slept for a while and got up, got a lot to do. Wrote the Now That It's Over article for free. That's over there at jeanspage.com for free. Kind of give you some behind-the-scenes information about the search. I think you'll enjoy that. It's been very well received. Every word of it is true. And we look forward to kind of putting that behind us now. It's a new era, right? That's the fun thing about it. You know, that's the fun thing about all this stuff. Kind of hope springs eternal, you know. It's like the sting of last night's loss is diminished because now we've announced a coach. And one of the things I want to say about that before we get too deep in the woods is that it was very important for Mississippi State to handle this last night. I know some of you don't agree. That's okay. But let me try to explain as best I can. The baseball portal opened today. We did not need to have any uncertainty about our direction as the portal opened. Yes, we're going to have some players go in, Gavin Black, Dylan Cup, others, and it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. All of that understood, our administration made sure our players were the first to know, and then it was released. And so that's one of those things that I think you guys should know, that we wanted to handle things the right way. But we have to do what's best for Mississippi State baseball as a whole. And so, great job by Zach Selman. Great job by Dr. Mark Keenum, the entire administration, for getting this taken care of. And again, a new day in Mississippi State Bulldog baseball. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. We love Bulldog Burger Company, and they love us. I remember I was one of the first probably 500 customers. Me and Haydad went. It was great. We thought both of us that this place is going to make it, and it has. For a long time now, and you knew they would because they're part of the Eat With Us group. The Eat With Us group knows everything about how to feed folks, you know. Very important in that respect. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer to make you and everybody around you better looking. Get a fine restaurant-quality hamburger. It's one of the few delicacies in life we afford ourselves, and you can't find one better than a Bulldog Burger. If you're new to Bulldog Burger Company, I would encourage you to have the Bulldog. It's a great straight-ahead rock and roll hamburger, and then maybe venture out on the next trip. But maybe you just want to go in feet first and maybe have that good morning burger, the smokehouse. I don't know what you're feeling that day, but they've got something on the menu that'll appeal to you. And maybe everybody else wants a burger, but maybe you want to eat something different. You can have that BLT salad. I like it grilled. Maybe you prefer it fried. I get mine with ranch dressing. You can do what you want to. You can be the vinaigrette guy if you want to. Not me. All that understood. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas. Gloucester Street there in Tupelo. Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Bulldog Burger Company. The place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, let's kind of break it down. Okay, well, now that we know Brian O'Connor going to be the new Bulldog skipper, we'll introduce him Thursday night. I understand it's going to be quite the show. I suspect there'll be a lot of people there, probably more people than attend most schools' midweek games. Be a big moment. If you can make it to town, we'd encourage you to come out, and we'll get details for you. 7 p.m. is going to be the introduction, a historic moment, Mississippi State baseball history. Brian O'Connor graduated from Creighton University. I think one of the things that makes that important is it means he's never going to leave us to go home, right? That's one of the things you worry about. You hire certain coaches, even though we are a destination quality job. At some point, we all get the call to go home. I did, and I heeded that call. But he was a pitcher there at Creighton and was part of a College World Series team as a player. Spent some time in pro baseball, and then went back to Creighton as a pitching coach. Was on the staff there at Notre Dame from 95 to 2003. Maybe you recall that under Coach Paul Maneri, you know, and did some big things. And then landed, of course, at Virginia, where he stayed for a long, long time. You don't see the big blockbuster hire in college baseball very often. It just doesn't happen that way. And a lot of it's because, in many respects, the money is not life-changing. I think we discussed that last week. I mean, you know, a lot of these football coaches get paid, you know, $5, $6 million guaranteed 4 years. You know, they fire you, they got to give you, you know, $5 million to leave. That's life-changing money. Most college baseball coaches won't make that in a decade. And so, yeah, it's more of a family-oriented decision. But, you know, Brian O'Connor, everybody tells me that he is very much a competitor. He's also 51 years of age. 54 years of age. Pardon me. Which is in my age bracket, and I can assure you I still have plenty left in the tank. I'm still probably as mean and cantankerous as I've ever been. But also incredibly still very competitive. You know, you don't drive home from Tallahassee, Florida and get home at 4:30 just for the fun of it. You know, I wanted to get back and sleep in my own bed. I'm a firm believer that another cup of coffee is cheaper than another hotel room. Maybe that's just my thing. And you may not know this, but Brian O'Connor is actually younger than Chris Lemonis. Were you aware of that? True story. Lemonis 55, O'Connor's 54. So in many respects, that doesn't really change anything. A lot of people look at him as well as age is a factor. Because you don't think about a guy being, you know, head coach at some place 22 seasons and being a spring chicken. Well, he's not, but there's plenty of fire left from what I'm told. But, you know, a five-time ACC Coach of the Year. He was the National Assistant Coach of the Year one of those years at, that's 2 years at Notre Dame. Part of the College Baseball Hall of Fame. He was National Coach of the Year in both 2009 and 2015. And, of course, we played against him in 21. That's the great Tanner Allen three-run shot to keep us in the winner's bracket. Right? You guys know that. Everybody knows that. We've had some success against Virginia. But Virginia is one of those clubs, too, that more times than not has played for something of significance. And I know some of our smarmy fans will say, yeah, well, he hadn't won an Eiffel championship since 2015. That's true. There's only seven sitting coaches that have an SEC title, and that includes Tony Vitello, who won it last year. not a lot of sitting SEC coaches or national championship coaches in college baseball right now. You know, Palmieri, of course, one of those. I think it's pretty safe to say that a lot of people in South Carolina would like to see him decide to move on, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think he'll be there for another year or two. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that roster with the portal opening up. I think everybody kind of sees that for kind of for what it is. A lot of people have said that it's not a very good situation there in Columbia. So we'll see how that roster looks here, a couple weeks, you know. And we're going to have some attrition too. I mean, and a lot of people would say, hey, you know, Steve, they didn't give a new coach a chance. Some of these guys have already been planning to leave already. You know, and that's okay. It's okay. I love our baseball parents. I do. And I get a chance to visit with them when we go on the road. I get incredibly close to several of them. And, you root for them. And as a former college baseball parent myself, I understand a little bit of that, right? Because so much of your life and your emotional investment is in the dreams of your child. And so I share that because I think it's important for people to understand these are people too. You know, that's an important aspect of that. We forget that. Every one of those players has got a mama. Every one of those players has got a dad. You got families. You got people to love them. And they make a lot of trips, spend a lot of time going to watch this team play, whether their kid gets to play or not. And so when you go out there and you make your comment, and there was one earlier, I won't identify the person, but Dylan Cup announced he was going in the portal. We had a story, and I saw a couple people out there, well, good. Well, let me just say this, shame on you, okay? Dylan Cup's dad was nearly killed last week. He's going to expected to make a full recovery, but it's going to be a long road back. That young man loves Mississippi State. That young man loves wearing the maroon and white. He got a little bit of the yips this year. But to make a comment like that, whether you knew it or not, is just inappropriate. It's inappropriate. I am appreciative of every young man that has ever worn a uniform at Mississippi State. And there's been some guys, maybe hadn't been as productive as I wanted them to be, but I tell you what, it's not for lack of effort. Some guys go out there and give it their all, and they're just not quite good enough. And there's some other guys out there that are going through something that maybe you're unaware of, and that's the case here. And so, no, I'm not going to allow anybody to trash Dylan Cup. Not going to happen. Even if his dad didn't get hurt. And it's a very serious situation. Sometimes things just don't work out. It doesn't mean that he's a lesser ball player. It doesn't mean that he's a lesser person just because he chooses to leave. And some of you guys take this stuff way too personally. Way too personally. But nevertheless, we'll get to some more portal stuff later in the show. But I'm going to be honest. Some of y'all pissed me off. I'm not going to lie about it. So, I mean, honest to goodness. And you know what? While I'm on this rabbit trail, please, I'm saying this right now. Please, please. Please, don't go out there and send a friend request to Brian O'Connor's wife. Don't go do a Facebook friend request to her. Number one, you don't need to be friends with her, okay? She's got enough friends. She doesn't need you kind of interloping in her life and kind of seeing what's going on. You know, that's kind of creepy in and of itself. But a lot of people, of course, who go friend request them because it makes us feel better about ourselves, and then we go add them to our little Facebook group. And I'm going to tell you, you can't do that. And let me tell you why you can't do that. And you know as well as I do, because some of us don't act right. All of a sudden, you know, one of our guys has a bad game, you know, against Arkansas State or something, and then some of y'all get on the message boards and get on Facebook, and you basically have diarrhea of the keyboard. Don't subject those people to that. And you can say, but Steve, it's big time sports. That doesn't give you the right to be an idiot. And some of you exercise that right regularly. It's a free country, I guess. But please do not go add these wives to your Facebook groups. Please, please, please do not do that. Because so many people go to the Facebook group to vent. And there's nothing wrong with that. But let's not involve our baseball wives into that cacophony. Please don't do that. Because you know how it's going to go. I mean, we can't even get along among ourselves sometimes when a game's not going well. And I have people all the time that say, oh, you know, don't get on those message boards. Don't get on the message boards. You know, listen, the message boards are there for fans. It's not for other people to sit out there and kind of glean some self-esteem from the fact, oh, she accepted my friend request. And then you message them like a creep. Like you want to have some type of friendship. It's one thing to be friendly. These people are not your friends. They're not. And sometimes I don't think people realize that. Brian O'Connor's not my friend either. But I'm going to cover him like he was. I'm going to cover Mississippi State because Bully is my friend. These people are hired help. They come and go. Their families benefit from them being here, but they don't sign on for this. So again, please do not add them to your Facebook group. Do not go stalk them on Facebook. Don't follow them on Instagram. Just leave it alone. There needs to be a degree of separation. When you see them at the alumni events, be sure and say hello, but don't go home and request them. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because that's not about them. It's about you. It's true. If she friend requests you, it's different, but sit on and go add her to your Facebook group. Don't do it. We've learned. We should have. Because I'm going to tell you, not everybody in your Facebook group is as well-intended as you are. I'm just saying it for what it is. All right, let's break down the coach a little.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
But here. So first year at Virginia, the first five seasons he was at Virginia, he makes an NCAA regional. Comes in, kind of gets it done. They finished second in the ACC his first year, won 44 games. Yeah. I don't know if you know a whole lot about Virginia baseball history. There really wasn't much of a program until Brian O'Connor got there. You know, just kind of how things are. It's how things work. I think everybody kind of sees that for what it is. And I have no idea why the internet is so slow today. But nevertheless, Virginia baseball really grew up under Brian O'Connor. And it's not like he had a Ron Polk, you know, ahead of him, kind of laying a grand foundation for with him to from with which he could build upon. I think that's an important aspect of all this thing, too, to kind of understand. Maybe it's Wikipedia that's looking bad. I don't know. I'm trying to pull up the Virginia baseball records. But nevertheless, he makes the College World Series in 2009. And 2010, back Super Regional, goes to the World Series in 11. And then it's just basically been a string of tournaments ever since. The, you know, 18 and 19 was a kind of a difficult year for them. They had losing years in the ACC. And they bounced back in 21, go to College World Series. They've been three of the last 4 years. They won't go this year, didn't make the tournament. Which brings me to an important discussion about this 2025 Virginia team. Because I've read with great interest, you know, some of the comments on social media from some of the ill-informed, casual fans of college baseball. You know, there are a lot of that's one thing that I've found that people are offended by when you call them a casual fan. There's a lot of casual fans out there. Do you know what Virginia's record was this year? I mean, just off the top of your head. They went 32-18. And some games rained out. They went 32-18. Of course, they had the series at Florida State canceled due to that shooting on campus. But they finished 14 games above 500. They're somewhat landlocked where they are. And the university has kind of like a four-hour midweek travel restriction. And so it's difficult to kind of get around to play a lot of non-conference games of note. Not a lot of great baseball programs around them that aren't within their conference. So you play the Richmond Spiders a lot, you know. Virginia Commonwealth, and at times they've been kind of a solid mid-major program. You know, we got Tyler Davis and Connor Hyzak from them. But, this is just a program that you know, by and large, before Brian Connor got there, there just wasn't a whole lot to cheer about. So he takes over in 04. Prior to that, prior to the Brian O'Connor era in Charlottesville, they had been to three NCAA tournaments in school history and had not been since 96. That's a long time. Three times. We started the College World Series tournament, NCAA College Baseball Tournament, I guess in 48. And they'd gone three times, from 48 until after Y2K. That's it. So there was nothing to kind of build upon there. But when you look at this year, of course, I really felt last year that Virginia team was kind of built for Omaha. They made it to Omaha because they were a team that wasn't just reliant on the home run. They hit some. But they were more of a doubles team. And I felt like that offense kind of translated well to Omaha. Because if you're the kind of player that wants to play home run derby, it doesn't always work out well for you. Not in Omaha. It's a big park. Air can get a little thick up there. When you hit one out of there, you're definitely swinging a Johnson. But you look at this particular year, 32-18. Last year they went 46-17, made it to Omaha. But 32-18 is not a bad record. Again, 14 games over 500. And they finished 16-11 in ACC play. So five games over 500. We went 500 and went to a regional. They went five games over 500 in a major conference and sat home. And you begin to think about, well, if they had played the Florida State region weekend, maybe you win a game there, end up 17-13, again, in a Power 5 conference. But even though the ACC is kind of, you know, number two, I guess, behind the SEC, and they've had a good opening weekend of this tournament, when you go five games over 500 in a Power 5 conference, especially one as esteemed as the ACC, and you get to sit home, guys, Brian O'Connor has no control over that conference schedule. And so I'm already limited in what I can do non-conference-wise because of this kind of four-hour restriction. And then the ACC kind of hands me an unbalanced schedule, and I have no idea if I'm going to play the high RPI teams or not. Let's kind of run through the schedule here, you know, right? So beginning of the year, they went down to Puerto Rico and played in that Puerto Rico Challenge. You get Michigan, you get Villanova, and you get Rice. Well, none of those teams ended up being anything, right? And so, yeah, they were somewhat name schools, but not really name programs. I mean, the Michigan game was decent, I guess, but they didn't even finish in the top three of their league. The George Washington game is canceled. You go down to Round Rock, that ended up being a decent tournament. You get Oregon State. They ended up being a top eight national seed. Oklahoma makes a tournament. Minnesota does not. But that's two tournament teams. So that helps you a little bit there. Then you got VMI. That's not going to help the RPI. You get Dartmouth. That's not going to help you. William and Mary. You get into league play. You get Boston College, who didn't even finish in the top 10. You get Maryland in a midweek game. You go to Cal Berkeley. They didn't make the tournament. Richmond. Of course, Duke was a tournament team and may win the Athens Regional if they hadn't already. Liberty. You drop that game. You get Stanford, who was ranked 20 at the time. They turned out not to have a big year. Old Dominion, makes sense, kind of playing Southern Miss, but ODU, not a great baseball school. NC State, obviously. Back to VCU. You get Pitt. They're not a baseball school. Liberty, again. You get Florida State. That gets canceled. That's a big RPI building opportunity that you didn't get due to an unforeseen tragedy. Georgetown, James Madison. You get Georgia Tech at Georgia Tech. You take two of three from them. They end up winning the league and don't even host. VCU, Navy, Towson State, Miami, who's playing Game 7 against Southern Miss. George Mason, canceled. Virginia Tech, play those guys again. Again, you get two series with them, but it's not helpful. So no Clemson. No North Carolina on your schedule, and you have no say in that whatsoever. And then probably the biggest team on your schedule from an ACC standpoint is Florida State, and that gets canceled. But you still finish five games above 500, and you're left out of the tournament. And then you factor in the funding stuff. I had somebody tell me over the weekend, I haven't been able to verify this, I don't know how we could, 20 scholarships. Just about everybody else is going to fund close to 30 or more. See, among your contemporaries, you're going to have fewer scholarships to work with. And so I get fewer scholarships, I get lesser funding, I'm restricted in what I can do non-conference-wise, and then I'm left to the mercy of the ACC to help me build an RPI. And you begin to kind of realize this whole situation at Virginia was very tenuous. You know, I've given 22 years of my life to this program, and I'm not getting the funding that I think that I need. And then the league in which I'm a part of really has a lot of say in my RPI building opportunities. Those were a lot of factors that have to be considered if you're Brian O'Connor. Now, we were told with impeccable sourcing that UVA came back late and said, hey, we're willing to do this. We'll give you this in rev share. They wanted him to stay. You know, of course, they've already lost, you know, Tony, the basketball coach. Bronco Mendenhall got out of there. I mean, you begin to think about all those aspects of that. I mean, of the big three, you've now lost the head coach of all big threes. And then you begin to wonder, do I have an athletic department problem? Am I not getting the resources that I need to be competitive in a very competitive league? And that's a question that only they can answer. When you look at what Zach Selman and Mark Keenum have done and said, hey, we want to win NAFL championships. You're a NAFL championship coach. We're willing to improve your situation from a scholarship and a funding standpoint, not to mention our facilities dwarf what you have at Virginia. We talked about Florida State's stadium earlier. Virginia, I think, is pretty nice, but by SEC standards, not so much. So you're going to have the greatest cathedral in the history of college baseball with some player amenities to look like a minor league club, and then you're going to have better scholarships? I mean, how do you say no, right? And not to mention it's going to be a top 10 salary. That's important to understand too. And so when I begin to look at all this, when the only factor that you have as Virginia is, well, he's been here for 22 years. But when you look at how long does he want to coach, 8 to 10 more years? And then on top of that, what does that decade look like if he's one of the worst funded schools in the ACC? And again, I know what they say. They said a lot last year too and then didn't do it. And then you've got other coaches in other major sports leaving. It seems to be the symptom of a bigger problem. And if Brian O'Connor wants to win a national championship, it's probably not going to happen in Virginia. We're going to win another national championship or two here in the next several years. That's how I feel. And so now you've paired up a national championship Hall of Fame caliber coach with an administration that is willing to give you the resources necessary to go compete at the highest level. So absolutely, you say yes to that. All right, time for our Close with Blair player of the weekend. And that's brought to you by Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Be sure and check in with Blair. You'll be glad you did. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair is the name to know. Get his 24 years of expertise working for you. You'll be glad you did. Super, super professional job. We've had so many Boneyard listeners that have closed with Blair, and they've come away with raving reviews and also keys to a brand new home. So if the dream of home ownership has eluded you before, let's give Blair a try. And get that pre-qualification letter. That'll get your real estate agent really motivated, knowing your financing is already kind of pre-approved. And so you also won't be shopping above your means. There's no point in having that great, nice house if you're never there to enjoy it because you're having to work overtime to pay the mortgage, right? It's an important aspect of it. You only live life once. But close at Blair, at Blair Chandler. Again, 601-500-2344. Visit closeatblair.com. And let him know your mortgage needs. So some people aren't going to like what I'm about to say. That's okay. That is okay. Our Close at Blair player of the weekend is Ryan McPherson. And you'd say, but Steve, why Ryan? Well, I'll tell you why Ryan. And so yesterday, you may remember, it was a bit of a little hubbub, you know. And it was one particular player yesterday for Florida State that kind of continued to run his mouth and run his mouth, and he was an instigator, and he was an instigator, and he was an instigator, and he was an instigator. And it never stopped. And his last at bat, he wore one. And so I'm going to give it to Ryan for standing up for the M over S. Some people would say, Steve, how terrible. Learn to live with it. You don't know me if you believe that that's out of character for me. Absolutely not. Nothing's bigger than the M over S. We're not going to be disrespected. And, you know, everybody's entitled to have a little bit of an emotional outburst every once in a while because it's high stakes. I get it. But when you keep doing it, you keep doing it, you keep doing it, you keep doing it, and you never shut up, you're going to wear one. That's not just in baseball, but in life. And so Ryan McPherson, thumbs up to you for defending the M over S. Please save your outrage. It will not change my opinion. Period. You're not going to disrespect us. Maybe you're okay being disrespected. I'm not, and I'm glad that Ryan McPherson wasn't either. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Kalito Guitars. It's time for the top 10 list. Visit KalitoGuitars.com. That's C-A-L-I-D-O Guitars.com. Makes sense that we have guitars with our top 10 list. Visit them online at Kalito Guitars or go by and see their wonderful showroom in Lake Jackson, Texas. This is a company owned and operated by Mississippi State people. How about that? They still have Starkville family. They come back from time to time, visit with them in season and out. You can call, you can order online, you can go by and visit the showroom. But let me give you some incentive to do business with them, okay? Just by listening to this show, there's a lot of neat little things packed into one little promo code. Your promo code is BSR, one you know well. That gets you 10% off your purchase. That gets you free shipping with your purchase. That gets you no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. And it gets a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. Just by listening to this show. So whether you need an electric guitar, an acoustic guitar, a classical guitar, a beginner guitar, a professional guitar, you need gig bags, you need cases, you need strings, anything you need guitar related, you can find at Kalito Guitars. Incredible service, great expertise, and good care before, during, and after the sale. Not everybody's going to do that. There's a lot of people, they'll tell you what you need to make a purchase, and then you never hear from them again. Kalito Guitar is going to be there when you need them. I've got a guitar stand from them. I'm very happy with it. You need one too. Don't have your guitar just leaned up against the wall somewhere. It's bad for the neck. You know better. And you can get a very, very nice guitar stand from from Kalino Guitars. And I believe in keeping business with the family whenever we can. And these are Mississippi State people. We should support each other in all of our endeavors. Again, that's Kalino Guitars. Okay, in honor of Brian O'Connor, I have no idea what his favorite band is. But we're going to do the Rock of Virginia. Now, I don't know what's going on up there in the Commonwealth. I don't know who has made these people so angry. Maybe it's because they live just, you know, south of Washington, D.C. I don't know. There's a lot of doom metal in Virginia. So I don't know what's happened up there. And maybe that's a good reason for Brian O'Connor and his family to get out of there. Maybe get out of there and come down here, you know, where, you know, we're praising Dale and listening to Hardy and Lynyrd Skynyrd and places like that. But listen, I'm going to break this down for you. The Rock of Virginia is not for the delicate. Now, some of you may think you're going to be able to handle this list, but you're not. So I'm going to give you the Surgeon General's warning right now. This is not for the faint of heart. This will put some hair on your chest. And ladies, it might happen to you too, so be careful when you're listening to this. Be very careful. You have to shave enough already as it is. So be prepared with this list. This is not for the delicate little flower. So here we go, the Rock of Virginia, number 10. Cool little group here. They actually did a cover of a Taylor Swift song, Look What You Made Me Do. But Hail the Apocalypse from Scarlet is your number 10 track. They haven't done a whole lot yet. They've got an album out and several standalone singles, but I think that you'll enjoy them, especially if you're kind of on the dark side. I got to be careful how I say this band name here because this is a PG-13 show. The now defunct Alabama Thunder P-word. Okay? Wild name for a band. Now defunct, but those guys can kind of get after it, too. They kind of blend themselves as a southern rock doom metal operation. It's very heavy, but we're going with Motor Ready from Alabama TP, if we'll put it that way. Number 8, this is another band, too, kind of a super group. They're a little bit different. I love the name of the group. They got some banjo. They got some Black Sabbath-type riff stuff in there, too. It's Birds of Prey on the Eagle's Wings. That's your number 8 track today. And it's unlike anything I think you've ever heard, to be quite honest with you. It's very, very different. Number 7, another band that might scare you a little bit. It's Valkyrie. We're going to go with Feeling So Low. I like this one. I think you will, too. Again, it's a little aggressive. This isn't the Dave Matthews Band. It's also from Virginia. You say, but Steve, they didn't make the list. No, they did not. But Valkyrie, Feeling Solo, number 7. All right, number 6, a band that's kind of more radio-friendly, and I think some of you will have fun with this band. And maybe you've never heard of them before. I remember when they were out in the late 90s. They've done some things recently, too. It's Earth to Andy. Earth to Andy. The song is Still After You. And it's basically about there's a beef. You know, you think it's settled, but it's not because I'm still after you. That's a big part of that. Number 5, a legendary band. The lead singer of this band, recently part of some memes. It's kind of made the rounds and part of some TikToks and all kind of stuff like that. It's the band Pentagram. They've been around since the 70s. And it's one of those deals, too, where there's some authenticity with this band, I think, where you think, you know what, I don't know if they're just singing this stuff or if they mean it. I think they mean it, to be honest with you. I think this band has a bit of a screw loose. But we're going with the band Pentagram, and the song is Sign of the Wolf. Sign of the Wolf from Pentagram. And again, that is not something you want to listen to with your Jesus fish on your minivan because it may melt off. I'm just giving you fair warning. Number 4, a band many of you know. They were a bit of a one-hit wonder. But yes, they're out of the state of Virginia. It's 7 Mary 3 and the great track Cumbersome. Everybody knows that song because, you know, I've become cumbersome to this world. You know it. And again, I remember it was so funny when they came out. I joked with my sister-in-law. So they're from Natchez. And she's like, really, who are they? Come on, give yourself a break. All right, number 3. A band that was more theater than substance. And They still continue, but it's not the same. They've had some original members die off, but it's Gore. And we're going to go with Sick of You as your number three track today, Gore. I remember when they first broke and they got on MTV and everybody's like, holy smokes, look at these guys, but they could really play. They just probably couldn't play well enough to get like a regular record deal, so they had to have these theatrics and had to kind of have a gimmick, but it's worked for them. Number two, this is a band too that's kind of a band's band. There are a lot of people in metal music that swear by Randy Byth and Lamb of God. And Randy, of course, you may recall, got into some trouble that was kind of crazy, to be honest with you. So there was a guy that kept jumping up on stage at a show over in one of these Middle Eastern, I don't know, maybe Middle or Eastern European countries. Let me double check that. But anyway, it was a guy that kept jumping up on stage, and security wouldn't handle it. And so Randy ends up shoving the guy, and it really wasn't that bad a shove. However, when you're being shoved off a stage, it doesn't take a lot of force to do some damage. And the guy fell and hurt himself, and Randy Blythe was arrested and spent some time in jail. And there is a documentary out there, and if the internet wasn't so slow, I'd give it to you, but let me see if I can find it here. Let's see. As the Palace is Burned documentary. That's it. As the Palace is Burned. And that came out about 10 years ago. And it was interesting. But it was one of these things where he was being charged with like intentionally harming this guy, but it was in Czechoslovakia. But the fan actually died. Due to the fall. And so they arrested him, and he was in jail for a couple years, I guess. And they finally got Randy out, and they're back playing again. But the whole thing was kind of an unfortunate incident. But ironically, and I don't mean it this way, but we're going to go with the song Laid to Rest. It's your number two try. Please don't think less of me. But number one, a band out of Richmond. Probably one of my three favorite modern rock bands of the last few years. We've talked about them on the show repeatedly. Dan and I saw them at the Signal in Chattanooga. What a cool venue. If you've never been, you owe it to yourself to go see a show there. The Signal in Chattanooga. It's Bad Omens. And we're going to go with The Death of Peace of Mind as your number one track today on the Rock of Virginia. A lot of these, again, there's some scary bands on here. And I don't think it's all just a gimmick. I think some of these bands are actually... I think they believe what they sing. But some of them, I know it's just a gimmick. But it's just so interesting that why do we have so much doom metal out of the state of Virginia? Maybe there needs to be an investigation into that. Why are the people south of Washington, D.C., immediately south of Washington, D.C., so angry and having this guttural guitar cleansing? Why is that happening? It's just interesting to me. Maybe you see it differently. But there you go, The Rock of Virginia today on your top 10 list. If you have ideas for the top 10, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Samanti on X. That's Dogmatic67, DawgMatic67. You can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart, and why? Because they have what we crave, and that is more Mississippi State merch. We can never get enough. We can never have enough. We want more Mississippi State apparel. We want more decorative gift items with the Mississippi State logo on them. You can find them at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all items, all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. It'll be football season before you know it, and you're going to want some new gear. So find that new polo or perhaps that new t-shirt, that new ball cap you can find there. Mom, I can tell you, when we go to Disney this year, everybody wants new Mississippi State merch. Buy something for yourself and rep the Bulldog brand wherever you go. That's Campus Bookmart. CampusBookmart.net, promo code BSR. Let's take a look back at the season, shall we? Because we're in a portal now. It's going to be busy. We got some guys going to go in. We're going to talk about that in the next segment of the show. Maybe part of this segment. We'll see. A couple things. So Ace Reese ends up being your leading hitter with a 352 average, 21 jacks, 66 RBI, one of the best offensive seasons in Mississippi State baseball history. He will be the face of our program next year. I understand that we've already begun to kind of take some steps to kind of lock him down. Of course, that's something that is very important, you know. And there's some people out there that say, hey, I feel really good about it. Guys, I'm not going to feel good about it until the portal's closed. Okay, and that's not that I've heard anything that concerns me. It's just because I know how important he is to us. Very, very important piece of the puzzle moving forward. And I think Brian O'Connor and that staff obviously know this. But, yeah, I mean, there's already been some negotiations that have kind of already taken place with that. And so I'm cautiously optimistic, but I can't sit here and tell you definitively that he's going to be back. Now, Noah Sullivan, I feel completely different about. I feel that, yes, barring he getting drafted, he is going to be back. He ended up being your second leading hitter with a 345 average, 15 jacks, 46 RBI. I think it's safe to say we got our scholarship and NIL investment out of both of those players. I don't think there's any question about it. Played in all 59 games this year. Noah Sullivan did. It even pitched a little bit for us, too. But there's always a possibility he gets drafted late. The issue with him is he doesn't have, like, a true projectable position as a pro ball player. Not a lot of DHs get drafted. He's a guy that could play some at first base, you know. Not necessarily a corner outfielder. Doesn't maybe move around quite as well. But it would be huge to get him back. Obviously, one of the leaders in the clubhouse. For us, but he does have another year of eligibility left. I was surprised to learn that, but it's true. So that's, again, a core piece of the nucleus. Now, Garrick Fry played in 50 games, started 33. You know, it took us a while to kind of get him going and left, and it'll be interesting to see what he wants to do, right? Does he want to stay here and continue to play left? Is there somewhere else that he fits? Does he elect to go in the portal? I think there's a good chance of him returning. I do. He's been a third baseman by trade, but, you know, so that's always something to consider in that aspect of it. But, again, he played almost half the time and had nearly half the at-bats of some of the regulars and still had 8 jacks, 17 RBI. Of course, leading off, you know, you're not going to get a ton of RBI opportunities. And, of course, he had the big solo home run yesterday to kind of get us going in a ball game that we were up 2-0 and just kind of fell apart there. But, yeah, that's another piece. We need him back. There's going to be some good players out there, but this is a guy that you know, loves Mississippi State. Had a chance to speak to his dad yesterday down in Tallahassee. Again, I think there's a good chance that he's back. But he is another guy that is draft eligible, and he is a guy that will probably get some looks. Now, does he get – looks at third base. Does he go back to third? Of course, he was a leading hitter at UNA last year. And so this is a guy that's done some good things in the course of his college career. And now he's kind of proven himself on the power four level against SEC pitching. And so he may actually be a better draftable commodity now than he would have been had he stayed at North Alabama, because he's proven to be able to do it at a higher level. What's interesting, too, we talk about the you know, strikeout rates in the street. We didn't have a ton of those this year. But just 21 strikeouts this year and 145 at-bats. Not bad. Bryce Chance, one of the best years that he's had in his career. He is another guy that's draft eligible but has some eligibility left. Hit 332 this year, 4 jacks, 43 RBI. And to be honest with you, there is nobody on this team that I wanted to be up there more than Bryce Chance when there's two outs and runners on base. He just has a little bit of clutch in him and finished fourth on the team in RBI. Now, granted, some of that's a byproduct of hitting fifth, but Bryce was a guy this time last year you kind of wondered if we weren't going to recruit over him. And lo and behold, what does he do? He comes out and puts together a career year. And also getting married this summer, this month, as a matter of fact, and so that's one of the things you consider too. You know, what's his signability when it comes to a pro team? If he gets drafted 16th, 17th round, does he go ahead and take it? I would say probably a chance he does. Or does he elect to come back for another year? You know, that's something to consider. Gat Sanders, I don't think that Gat's going to be a big draft guy. I mean, second basemen are not necessarily a big commodity, but this team really settled when Gat won the second base job and Sawyer ended up going to short. Gat Sanders hit 317 this year. No home runs. We didn't expect that. But 23 RBI. And another guy, too, I like him in the nine hole. Good enough speed to kind of make things happen out there. Kind of a slap hitter at times. A little bit punchy in Judy, as I've referred to him as well. But he has been a very, very, very solid contributor for Mississippi State. Would like to have him back. 42 starts this year, 47 games played. So about 10 off the lead. But you start thinking about this. I mean, the first five guys that I've mentioned are all guys with eligibility left and the probability or possibility of coming back. Sawyer Eaves is out of eligibility. Turned down a free agent deal last year to come back. And one of the things that I hate is one of the reasons that he came to Mississippi State was to have the opportunity to play in an NCAA regional. And unfortunately, just has that game, and then his back locks up on him, and he misses both games yesterday. You hate that aspect of it. A guy finally has a chance to realize a dream and then doesn't get the chance to finish the deal. 144 bats for him, 30 strikeouts. And he was a guy, too, that missed some time. He had the yips a little bit, but moved him to short, and he kind of settled back in, and he was really good for us. He hit 292, three jacks, 20 RBI. And so you kind of work through this aspect of it with him. His eligibility is gone, but he proved to be a good get for us. And there were some people early on that were kind of celebrating when he was struggling. And I can't wrap my mind around that. Why would we ever root against one of our own players? I remember somebody on my own message board said, well, it's funny to me that it was Lemonos' buddy that had to find the bench first. I don't think that's funny at all. As a matter of fact, there's nothing humorous about that to me. Every young man that puts on that M over S cap, I want them to be successful. And I would never root against a kid to further my agenda against a coach. Because number one, I don't have an agenda against a coach. I'm a Mississippi State guy. There are a lot of people that cheer for Mississippi State that are not necessarily Mississippi State people. They should be. But that line of thinking is offensive to me. Hunter Hines, of course, gets the home run record. Ends up with 16 jacks. Kind of a return to form for Hunter. And I thought he had a really good weekend. He nearly had Miles not had the big grand slam. Hunter may have made the all-tournament team. I thought he had a really good week. And who would have thought that Hunter Hines would have the two best at-bats against Jamie Arnold for us? But he did. And he showed that he's willing to take the ball back up the middle at times the other way. He was kind of a Deadpool hitter much of his career. But, he hit 280 this year. And if I told you at the beginning of the year he's going to hit 280 with double-digit jacks and over 50 RBI, which was second on the team with 52. He'd say, yes, Steve, I'll take that. Yeah, well, he's out of eligibility. We wish him the best, and he'll get drafted. Ross Highfield has eligibility left. He hit 218 this year. And in and out of the lineup a little bit. Ross is one of those guys, too, that can be a really good clubhouse guy. He's willing to do whatever he needs to. The big home run against Alabama, kind of the marquee thing. But, he's hit about 210, 220, both of his full seasons here. And, of course, Ross is a guy that really is just over a year back from Tommy John surgery. And that's been a significant thing, and it takes a while to get caught up. But I think some of our fans at times were really difficult with Ross. I know Ross had his challenges, but, again, he's one of our guys. Steven Spoletta played in 12 games, didn't start any. Curious to see what he does. He may elect to go in the portal, but when I begin to look at this, we probably need to get a catcher out of the portal, okay? I think that is a glaring need for us. Spoletta is a guy that swings a pretty big bat at times, had a big hit over the weekend, but also, too, this is a guy that defensively maybe hadn't been there. Jackson Owens, a guy, of course, that redshirted this year. Is he the answer? And that's when you begin to look through this with the loss of Joe Powell. I think you have to go get a catcher out of the portal. You have to. And that's not a personality thing. It's a principles thing. We have to be solid up the middle. You got to go get a guy. Maybe he's a backup at a Power Four school that just needs to get on the field. A guy that knows how to defend against a Power Four breaking ball in the dirt with a runner at third. But, again, if you look at returning production, again, Jackson Owen played in six games this year, had to take a medical redshirt. Spoletta did not start any games. Highfield started about half of them, and probably a dozen of those in right field. And so that, to me, that's a glaring need. It is. You need to go get a veteran guy. And then if Highfield wins a job, then so be it. But you work through all this stuff, and you begin to kind of see what you've got coming back. And again, the possibility for a strong nucleus to be back. Of course, Ethan Pulliam has taken up football full-time. Nolan Stevens, that's an interesting one there for me too. He got hurt down the stretch and missed some ABs. And one of the things that we've learned about this is when you don't get consistent ABs, when you do get a chance to hit at times, it's a little bit herky-jerky. Stevens has had a couple of hits down the stretch for us, but that's a guy there I think fully healthy is a double-digit home run guy. It's probably got 35-40 RBI. And so it's intriguing to think about, okay, what happens with him? He's a California guy. Does he elect to go in the portal? I don't know. I think those exit meetings that will begin tomorrow will be important. Lucas Buckner, of course, started at shortstop the last few ball games, and I thought defensively played pretty well. And I think he has a bright future. I really do. Played in 22 games, hit about 290, 289 exactly. But six starts, a couple of RBI, and again, kind of punching Judy. And that's one of those things that I think about is with Dylan Cup getting in the portal, you probably need to go get another shortstop. And that's not a slight at Lucas Buckner. You need as many strong middle infielders as you can get. But if you can go get a shortstop that is an elite athlete that could be a double-digit home run guy and run a little bit, you got to go get him. Again, it's principles before personalities. Guess Joe Powell, what a great story Joe Powell has been. Hit 283 this year with 9 jacks and 38 RBI. It's kind of crazy to think about it. Down the stretch, he became really a fan favorite. And I remember the very first time we had him in media. He was a guy that had a lot to say about his faith, and that kind of endeared him a lot to our fan base. In a lot of interviews, he began that. I would first of all like to give thanks to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, that's one of those things that plays well in the Pine Belt, or in the Bible Belt, pardon me. Both, really. But, we're very appreciative of Joe and everything he's done for Mississippi State. Reed Stallman is a guy that's got some eligibility left. He hit 265 with 11 jacks and 34 RBI. Only played in 32, or started 32 games, played in 44. He's not a right fielder. Now, we played him some in the outfield just to get his bat in the lineup, and you got to wonder if he doesn't factor in a little bit at first base. Next year, he was a first baseman by trade. We signed him expecting him to be a replacement for Hunter Hines because we expected Hunter Hines to be drafted last year. So that's something to consider. Does Stallman kind of factor in at first base next year? Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Aaron Downs hit 254. Of course, he played a little bit over the weekend. He had the broken nose issue. Due to taking that ball in the face, another guy that's recently got engaged. I mean, they come here as kids and leave here as men, making grown folks' decision. But for a while there, you couldn't pitch to Aaron Downs, and then people kind of figured out right-hand spin was tough for him. You wonder if a change of hitting coaches will impact him at all. If he does elect to return, does bringing in a new hitting coach maybe kind of revitalize his career? I don't know. But he had 7 tanks this year, 20 RBI. And again, there was a stretch there. You absolutely could not pitch to him. Michael O'Brien, absolutely loved that family. And Mike played in 37 games, only started 4. Hit a buck 90, only had 21 at-bats, scored 7 runs, had 4 hits. And he needs at-bats. And that's one of the things, if I'm Michael O'Brien, and I know he wants to stay, he's got to figure that aspect out. Do I have the opportunity to play here on a regular basis? That's the thing you consider. And that's something that I think that he has to kind of sit down with his own advisors and his family and kind of figure out. I like Michael O'Brien, and had he not got injured right at the end of spring training, I think he's your opening day center fielder. And offensively, he had really kind of turned a corner before that. And then you ended up sliding Bryce over, and Downs gets hot and left, right? And so Michael O'Brien, I think at times, kind of got lost in the shuffle. But again, in the spring and even back in the fall, he was routinely hitting balls in gaps and getting doubles. And then all of a sudden, he gets hurt right before the season, and it's difficult for him to kind of work his way back in. I remember him starting at Memphis. But, yeah, you got to get regular ABs. Landis Davila, of course, has already announced his intention to enter the portal, and we hate that because I think that he has a bright future ahead of him. Not exactly sure what he's thinking, but he's going to go in the portal, played in just six games, had the one hit, and drove in a run, too. Jackson Owen, again, I don't know what's going to happen with him. Again, you start thinking about this, the whole dynamic of the catcher position and the depth chart therein, and you kind of begin to wonder a little bit, you know, where would he factor in? This is a guy that's always wanted to play at Mississippi State. Unfortunately, he's had some things kind of work against him. He's been a fall ball hero there, and you always feel like, you know what, hey, if we can get him healthy and get him in a lineup, maybe you've got something there. So that'll be something to kind of watch. And, of course, Nate Chester out of eligibility. Really came back this year and just, you know, told Lamontis and him, I don't even have to play. I just want to be back around my guys. And he has kind of been the clubhouse guy, the locker room rah-rah guy, the dugout guy when everybody's kind of sitting on their hands, kind of gets them up and moving. Played in just six games this year, only had two at-bats. Had the one at-bat against Missouri, and I think they plunked him, if memory serves me correct. I think that's right. But that's your offensive players that actually got in the fray this year. You know, some other guys out there, you know, that we, like Braden Booth, a guy we think is going to be a guy for us next year. We'll see how it goes. But, you know, we knew coming into this year that we were a starting pitcher short. We knew this. And, of course, we had the kid from Kentucky to get drafted and signed. That was always a possibility, even when we signed him out of the portal, that he was going to be a draft risk. We felt like Pico was going to be the one weekend guy we felt like we could count on. Pico ends up being the Friday night guy. And at times was absolutely filthy. You know, down the stretch, you could tell he was a little bit arm weary. But 5-4 record with a 4.72 ERA. Had 15 starts this year, 80 innings pitched, 69 hits. And that's a great statistic to be that significantly lower than a hit per inning. Allowed 42 earned runs, struck out 114 and walked 29. Batting average against was .227. He did start. There were some rumors that made the rounds that he was out for the season. I'd like to know where those started. He was not 100%, but he did start and he gave it a go. And it's just one of those things. I don't know why we do these things to ourselves. That's just me. Cade O'Leary is a guy we think a lot of. Only pitched a couple times this year, but he is a guy that we feel like has a bright future here. Gavin Black is already expected to go in the portal. Charlie Foster, you got a glimpse of what we thought he could be. That was one of the things back in the preseason. We thought, hey, Charlie is a guy that could take over as the Sunday starter. And you saw a little bit of that, and I thought he was absolutely outstanding against Florida State the other day. But the 0-1 record, of course, he gets a start against Southern Miss. He's not exactly right, wasn't exactly ready. ERA of 1.59, seven appearances. Goes 11 1/3 and gives up just three hits. 17 punch-outs against eight walks. And, again, a lot of those walks came against Southern Miss. Noah Sullivan, we've already discussed him. Chase Hungate, of course, you're just not exactly – we didn't have him. He got hurt, and they said he's a couple weeks away, and then we never saw him again, you know, and kind of a crazy deal. I thought Dottie was good this weekend. I think he has a bright future ahead of him. He's a 1-2, 309 ERA, 18 appearances this year, also with a couple of saves. Had 34 punch-outs against 12 walks and gave us everything he had over the weekend. Ben Davis, not expecting him to get drafted, but there's that possibility because he is draft eligible. 4-2 record, .377, and he was really good, I thought, on Friday. 23 appearances, mostly out of the bullpen, four starts. 57.1 innings pitched, 52 hits. 24 earned runs allowed on the year. 61 Ks against 24 walks. And you remember, and when we put him in there as a starter, he kind of struggled at times, and especially against Texas. Evan Sieri will have some eligibility left. We feel like we're pretty confident he won't get drafted, but you never know. And this is a young man, too, that is, I think, really thrived under the supervision of Justin Parker. Down the stretch was as good as anybody. And the truth of the matter is, if it would have been my call, and some of you agree, I would have thrown Ligon against Northeastern and then thrown Sierra against Florida State. That's what I would have done. It turns out we got plenty of offense against them. We just couldn't score. Pitching wasn't the problem. Sierra was outstanding. Finishes the year with a 3-1 record. an ERA of 4, 54 innings pitched, allowed 24 earned runs on 45 hits, struck out 72, walked just 15. Batting average against .220, but he really came on, had some hit-by-pitches. I was actually third on the staff in that respect. But you get him back, all of a sudden he's in the mix for a weekend spot. And I think really you've got to go get a Friday night starter out of the portal. And I'm sure Brian O'Connor has already got his eyes on some guys. But we're going to have to rebuild that rotation. And you feel like Foster can be in it. Ryan McPherson's a guy that can be in it. We'll get to him shortly. But you've got some good young arms you can build around, but you probably need a bona fide Friday night guy. We want to go to Omaha next year. Dane Burns, another guy I like a lot. I don't know that he pitched enough this year. You know, he had that one bad outing at LSU, but there were some other times he was absolutely filthy. 1.1 record, 4.02 ERA, 14 appearances this year, worked about an inning per, allowed less than a hit per, struck out 19, walked 12, gave up 7 earned runs. But batting average against is .196. He has some really funky stuff, and so there's something to work with there. Mentioned Ryan McPherson. As a true freshman, 4-1 record, 4.12 ERA, 20 appearances, 2 starts, 3 saves. This kid is money. We got to make our way to keep him. We got to make this thing comfortable. We got to make this thing work. I think Ryan McPherson is a big time guy. And again, I want to thank him again for defending the M over S yesterday, last ball game of the year. Appreciate it very much. Nate Williams is a guy that's been up and down at times. 1-3, wasn't good over the weekend. 1-3 record, 4-2-3 ERA. We didn't expect anything from him until we got into the spring, and all of a sudden he was absolutely filthy. He had some really good outings for State, some others not so much. But 51 punch outs against 11 walks. 5-1 ratio is something you could live with. But there were some times it seemed like they came in bunches. Kevin Minnell, 2-0 record, 4.30. I'm sure he wants a bigger role. That's one of those things you got to ask yourself. You're Kevin Minnell. If you go in the portal, where are you going to go? Maybe you go somewhere at a lesser level and you can pitch more. I think the main thing with him is he's kind of a right-handed specialist because of the arm slot that he uses. He doesn't really have an out pitch for lefties. And that's something I think maybe a new pitching coach could develop with him, or maybe it's something if Parker is retained in that capacity, and we don't know for sure. I don't think that's going to be the case, but you start looking at that arm slot and that delivery and you begin to think, okay, what can we do? Carson Ligon has pitched his last day as a college pitcher. And, again, earlier this year, some people wanted him out of the rotation, but he was really good the last half of the season. 6-5 record, 5.40 ERA, 15 starts on the year, 56.2 innings pitched, which was third on the team in workload, 73 strikeouts, which was second on the team as well. Teams hit about .253 against him. And that's the thing with Carson is when he was off, he was really off. He was either really good or really bad. Wasn't a lot of in between. Stone Simmons, and what can we say about Stone? And what a great story. You know, it truly is. And I'm glad that his final outing was a very successful one so he can cap his career. He'll be getting married soon, too, you know. It's crazy how that stuff works, man. It is. Duke Stone, a guy we didn't get to see a whole lot of, but we think a lot of him. He gets 5 appearances this year, no record, 5.79 ERA, just went 4 2/3 and had a couple of outings that were kind of up and down and some other ones that were good. But there's something to work with there. And again, he's just a year removed from Tommy John himself. Jacob Pruitt was a guy that we signed expecting him to be a weekend starter. That didn't work out for us. Robbie and I talked about that on the road, that here he was just kind of finishing up a game, kind of mopping up a game, when we expected him to be a weekend starter and kind of found out pretty early wasn't going to go the way we thought. But he ends up with a 1-0 record, an ERA of 7.23, 9 appearances, just 2 starts. One of those came in the midweek against Troy, and he was absolutely phenomenal against them. And maybe that's a level in which he can pitch, G5. But, you know, it just didn't work out the way we'd hoped. Robert Fortenberry was a guy that was the National Junior College Pitcher of the Year. Had a couple of good outings down the stretch, but didn't end up being great for us. 6 appearances, 11.12, and, you know, just wasn't great. 5 2/3 of an inning. We expected him to be a guy that was going to be a primary reliever for us. It didn't work out. Batting average against was .304. I don't think there's any question that that's not going to get it done. JT Schnurer was a guy that set the Pearl River Community College team record for victories in a season and had the one appearance against Troy, and it blew up. Only got one guy out, allowed three runs on four hits. We never saw him again. Interesting how it all works. But this roster is going to look a lot different next year, but there is a chance to bring some core pieces back. So there's some things to build around, but I really feel like in many respects, this pitching staff is going to look a lot different next year. Brian O'Connor, of course, a guy that was a collegiate pitcher, a guy that earned his living for a long time as a pitching coach at major college baseball. Virginia has historically been one of the better pitching teams in the country. And so there are going to be some guys that stay, that get better, and there are going to be some guys that maybe he feels like doesn't fit what he wants that will be replaced. There will be some other guys that will come in that he has a connection to, and we'll kind of move forward. But, yeah, the roster is going to look different. And so there's going to be some attrition in the portal. It's going to happen, and every time that somebody goes in the portal, it's not always their decision. But the one thing we don't want is our fans to go out there and say, like, good riddance. I mean, that's just beneath us. It's just uncouth, as they say. We're better than that. We are better than that, than to go out there and celebrate somebody leaving. It doesn't always work out. And again, it's not for a lack of effort. You may have had a guy to come in here. Nobody signs themselves, right? They have to be offered a scholarship. You know, they have to be offered an opportunity, and then they sign. So somebody somewhere said, yes, we'll take you. They didn't just show up one day and say, hey, I'm going to pitch here. And so I share that with you because I think it's important to understand, let's be the adults in the room. And what you say, well, Stevie's kids are getting paid. A lot of these guys that you want to trash are not. Not getting paid anything of significance. And I don't know why we need in one of these scenarios where we look at this and say, well, you know, it's okay for me to be difficult. It's okay for me to be disrespectful. Every one of these players has a family that loves them, have people that cheer for them. And when you go out there and you attack a player on social media, it's not reflective of who we are as a fan base and who we are as a program. You're not helping. It may make you feel good in the moment. Well, I really told him. Yeah, you also told the world. And that all these guys play travel team baseball. All these guys have teammates. They're part of organizations. They have agents. And so when you go out there, you think you're helping. You're not. You're just making it more difficult for the coaches to go out there and sign players. And another argument is, well, if they're that soft, well, if you're that rude, you know, maybe you don't need to have a social media account. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Yeah, we stayed there for New Year's, had a blast. 6 bedrooms, 2 soon-to-be 3 baths, plenty of room for everybody to kind of stretch out and enjoy themselves. You can have conversations all over the house. You got the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area. Go make some memories with the people you care the most about, whether it be friends, family, whatever. The Golden Triangle, best place to stay is the Star Vegas Clubhouse. And what's interesting about that, too, is it's 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. Yeah, so you can do all your tailgating right there. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one of the cool things about all of this is the fact that it's right here in Starkville. It's the old renovated clubhouse out past the Highlands. Yeah, the old golf course is gone, but the clubhouse was purchased and renovated, and now you can go have some fun with your friends and family. Yeah, plenty of parking out there too. You'll be amazed at how nice the place is. Very easy to get to. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and you'll see their Facebook page auto-populate. You can peruse through all the pictures of all the amenities of all of their options for your guests there. And then you can see some booking options too. You can do Airbnb or VRBO, but if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website. We'll give you a promo code. That's BSR10. And that's beautiful Steve Robertson 10. BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay. And again, we've stayed there, so I can give you a personal accounting of what a nice place it is. Be a great place for you to go make some memories with friends or family. Be sure and check it out today to Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Okay, let's quickly go through a kind of a difficult weekend for the SEC in baseball. And just went final in Oxford. Murray State takes down the host Rebels. It was a 12-3 ball game for a while, but give Ole Miss a lot of credit. They came roaring back, and then Murray State gets a 1-2-3 inning there in the ninth to close it out. And some drama kind of unfolding in Baton Rouge right now is Arkansas Little Rock, coached by Chris Curry, former Diamond Dog Chris Curry, 5-1 in Game 7 in Baton Rouge. The Trojans up 5-1 over LSU. We expect that score to change. It's just in the second inning, but nevertheless, pretty interesting, right? North Carolina takes care of Oklahoma 14-4. No mercy rule in NCAA tournament games. That question came up a lot. But Oklahoma makes it to a Game 7. They don't advance. North Carolina will. And, of course, Murray State takes down Ole Miss. They were rolling for a while. And the Ole Miss bullpen kind of found that, of course, Ole Miss had to bring in some starting pitchers from earlier in the weekend, including Hunter Elliott, to pitch the ninth to give them a chance. Ole Miss scores 8 runs in their final – 2 of their final 3 at-bats. Of course, 1-2-3 there in the ninth. The Racers had 19 hits in this ballgame. 19 hits. Pretty crazy. Tennessee takes down Wake Forest 11-5 to advance to the Super Regionals. And so that's that, right? Let's take a quick look at the NCAA tournament bracket. You'll be glad you did. I'll type that up, you know. We'll do it right now. There is the interactive bracket, so we can kind of see who is still there. Oregon State, of course, wins the regional out there in Corvallis, and they will host Florida State, which means had we won, we'd have gone to Oregon State, and I would have loved to have done that. But so Vanderbilt, the number one seed in the tournament, is eliminated. And again, I thought that was kind of a rough one seed anyway, but the team I would have had as a one seed also didn't make it. But Louisville wins the Nashville Regional. Wright State gave Vanderbilt all they wanted. But Louisville wins and will advance to the Supers. Been a while since the Cardinals have really been, you know, a team you had to watch this time of year. Southern Miss and Miami are playing now. Miami with an early lead there in Hattiesburg. That's a winner-take-all game. The winner will face Louisville in a Super Regional. Should Southern Miss win, then that will be in Hattiesburg. Yeah. And we mentioned Florida State and Oregon State already. North Carolina, we mentioned them knocking off Oklahoma. They will advance to play Arizona, who goes to Oregon, Eugene, Oregon, and gives those guys the blues. Arizona, a team we played earlier this year, will now advance to take on Carolina and Chapel Hill in a super. Coastal Carolina, I thought Florida would win that bracket. I did. I really thought the path to get to Omaha was there. But lo and behold, Coastal Carolina holds serve in Conway. They will head to Auburn for a super next weekend. Auburn had to kind of hammer down NC State, but yeah. A fairly manageable regional for Auburn, they do, and now they'll host Coastal. You know, it could be Butch Thompson's third trip to Omaha as the skipper of the Tigers. Arkansas and Tennessee now, of course, with Tennessee knocking off Wake Forest, they will take on Arkansas. In Fayetteville, that's going to be a tough ticket to get. And, of course, West Virginia now waits for the winner of the Little Rock LSU game. How crazy is that? West Virginia went. Well, I told you I thought it'd be a wild regional. It was. Kentucky gives them all they wanted. Kentucky actually drops 12-11 when it's all said. Then they embarrass Clemson. Clemson, the team that everybody was really excited about. Now Clemson eliminated from the field. Kind of crazy stuff there, really. And again, you start working through all this. It's not going to script. As Duke wins the Athens Regional, of course, Athens saw a crazy game yesterday. Georgia up 2 runs in the ninth, and Oklahoma State hits a 2-run tank to tie it, and then they walk them off with a 2-run shot, eliminates Georgia. A lot of people, including the Georgia fan base, are a little bit, irritated with the antics. You know, the shirts down, you know, unbuttoned down to the navel. Maybe some of you women like that. I don't know. I don't know. But nevertheless, Slade Alford, one of his final moments there in Athens, hits a home run, flips the bat towards the Oklahoma State dugout, gets a warning, comes back later, hits a tank, and then just kind of lays the bat down sarcastically. But Duke winds up taking that regional. They beat Oklahoma State. And then they will face Murray State, who just wins the Oxford Regional. And I thought Ole Miss got a decent draw, but it wasn't great. I mean, as far as hosting goes, to get the ACC champion in there, and in Murray State, one of the top offensive clubs in the country in there, and Western Kentucky, kind of a tough team too, it wasn't a peach of a regional. And then lo and behold, Murray State wins it. So again, they'll play Duke, and Duke obviously would be should be the host for a Super this weekend. There'll be an official declaration. I'm sure it's already been made. UCLA now awaits – no, they don't. They play Texas San Antonio. UCLA wins an All-West Regional of Arizona State, UC Irvine, and Fresno State. They move on and will play Texas San Antonio, who gave Texas all they wanted and then some. I thought Texas got a peach of a regional, with the exception – of Texas San Antonio. But I still thought Texas pitching would be enough. They hadn't had Jared Spencer for a while. But they had Houston Christian, Cakewalk, Kansas State, UTSA, and then Kansas State, of course, lost two games to Northeastern early this year. And then Texas San Antonio wins it. So the Roadrunners headed out west to take on the Bruins. And so that's kind of where we are right now. Everything is set except for the two games that are ongoing, the LSU game and the Southern Miss game. So by the time you guys listen to the show, you already know what's going to happen there. But a few things that I wanted to share a little more personally about this, you know, and I think about this as I travel, as I, you know, get home in the wee hours of the morning. Number one, I love traveling at night. You know, it's not traffic on the road. There's no lines at a truck stop. It's easier on the car. You get better gas mileage. You don't necessarily have to be quite the attentive driver. You know what I'm saying? It's more relaxing to drive home at night. And as I've mentioned before, you know, another cup of coffee is cheaper than a hotel room. And then I got to get up the next morning and finish it up anyway. I like to sleep in my own bed. So, you know, made the run back home, got home, slept a few hours, and I get up. And people ask me, like, people that love me say, you know, why do you do all this? And the truth of the matter is because I love it so much. I love it so much. I am so lucky. Now, I've worked for all this, but I'm so fortunate to be in the position that I'm in. I get to cover the team that I have loved my entire life, in all sports if I choose to. But Mississippi State baseball has always been exceptionally special to me because the one thing that I always felt like, you know what, we can always stand up and we are as good as anybody in the country. We can compete with anybody in the country. We may not be able to say that in other sports, at least not consistently. But we have a name around the country. People expect baseball in Mississippi to center around Mississippi State. And, of course, all three big schools in Mississippi make the tournament this year. Two of those three are now eliminated. But I'll tell you, I felt in my heart before we even got on the road to Tallahassee that it was going to go like it went last year. And I'll be honest with you, even walking out last night, even though that I knew that we had Brian O'Connor hired and we were going to announce that either last night or today, it hurt a little bit more this year. Now, we didn't have the pitching that we had last year. And that was the thing last year. We said, man, if the pitching can just be good, they don't have to be great, we got a chance to go to Omaha. Well, the pitching turned out to be really good and some weekends great. And the offense didn't come through. But this year, you know, we knew we didn't have pitching, but we knew we had offense. And I think at times, I think everybody would agree, this team underachieved, as did last year. And maybe that's something we got to consider, right? I'm sure Brian O'Connor would say that his team underachieved this year. You had Virginia. But I know this guy's got a pedigree of winning. I know this guy understands pitching. And whether it's Corey Mascara, who I think it's going to be, I really feel pretty confident about that. Or Justin Parker. You know, I think we're going to be a much better team next year. Now, how good we're going to feel next June is going to be determined on what we do this June. Who do we get out of the portal? How do we construct this roster? Now, there will be exit meetings, and it's crazy that the new coach is just coming in and he's conducting the exit meetings. He's already reviewed film, from what I understand. He already has a good sense of what our roster looks like on tape. But he didn't know many of these kids. And so one of the things that I want to encourage you to do, as I mention all the time, these are people. And I've had a couple messages from some parents that are not going to sleep well the next couple nights because they don't know. They don't know Brian O'Connor. They don't know what he's going to choose to do. Is he going to renew the scholarship for their son? Are they going to say, you know what, I just don't know if you're good enough to play here? And so you go through all of this and you finally get here and you play in a Southeastern Conference and you feel like you have something and you feel like you have a home and all of a sudden things change and that's not what you signed on for. And yes, it is a business. And yes, there's a lot of money involved in all this. And if you don't win at Mississippi State, we'll write you a check and we'll go hire the next guy, right? We hadn't done a whole lot of that over the years. But all of that understood. A lot of mamas and daddies sitting around tonight scrolling at their phones, just trying to pass the time until they know what's going to happen with their son. Are they going to continue to be a part of the Mississippi State baseball family? Are they going to continue to have the same fraternity that they have with the baseball parents? They've all kind of come together. They travel together. They spend time together. They eat dinner together. Now all of a sudden, you're going to be kind of excluded from the friend group because your son may be somewhere else. And while we're excited and there's all this very, very, very affirmed exuberance about the hiring of Brian O'Connor and the new direction of Mississippi State baseball, there are a lot of people that are kind of in a sense of limbo. And I ask that you to be sensitive about that. And so, again, kind of going back to the whole Dylan Cup thing, not everybody knows what's going on with these kids and their families. And not everybody needs to know. But the reality of it is that there's going to be a lot of changes. And I think in the end they're going to be for the betterment of the program. That's an important aspect of this. You know, we want to go win the national championship again. We don't want to just host a regional. We don't want to go win a road regional. We will. But we prefer to be right here. And Zach Sellin made a comment after we lost on Saturday, or maybe we won on Friday. We won on Friday. And he made a comment. He goes, you just don't know how bad it bothers me that our great facility back home is gathering dust this weekend. And I said, well, you never know. Things fall just right. You willing to go pass a rag around there and clean it up and let's go host the Super next weekend? He goes, oh, you wouldn't believe. And so I share that with you because there are people involved in all of this that want the same things you want. And they want to be a part of it. They want you to be a part of it. And so my hope is, no matter what the last few years have felt like for you, that we can all unite under the M over S and focus on what is to come. I mean, we only get a limited number of years, man, you know? And that was the thing that from the very beginning of this process, I said, man, I don't want to go out there and get the scratch and dent coach. I don't want to go get the up-and-comer. It's got to take them 2 years to kind of figure this thing out. We need somebody that can hit the ground running. Zach Sellman got the best available hire in the country, period. Nobody has the resume of Brian O'Connor, and Zach Sellman is to be commended for that. So it's time for us to all kind of get behind him and kind of move forward, for sure. If you hadn't done so, go to DutyNobleBook.com. You can get all my sports titles there in addition to my memoir, When the Bottom Falls. And come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. It's been a very, very, very busy month. Thank you very much. Father's Day coming up. You'll be thinking about maybe getting dad a float or two or 10, whatever. We got a package for that. Call 662-268-7601. You can speak to my lovely wife, Dana. She can get you lined out and answer any questions you may have. And come join us over at jeanspage.com, the best place to get Mississippi State information in the known universe. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.